Hey guys, want to last longer in bed without having to worry about lasting longer in bed? Well, then you need to try Promescence Delay Spray. Promescence Delay Spray is not just for guys with PE, okay? It is for any guy who wants to last longer in bed without having to worry about lasting longer in bed. And that's because it's not going to totally numb you out and it's not going to transfer to your girl. Promescent also has a whole line of products for women. So for your girl, go get her something too. Get her the warming gel. It's going to warm her fucking pussy up and she's going to love it. They also sell supplements called Vitaflux. You could either take them as pills or as powder. And that shit is going to make you horny-er. Okay. If you're horny, it's going to make you horny-er. Okay. Promescent has everything you need for a really hot night of sex. So what are you waiting for? Go get yourself some Promescent. Go to promescent.com/strictlyanon to get 15% off your whole order. So order the fuck up, okay? Because you're going to get 15% off everything you buy. So buy it all at once, okay? That's promescent.com/strictlyanon. You're going to get 15% off your whole order. You're going to get free shipping and your package is going to arrive discreetly. So no one's going to know what the F you bought.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show. Let your freak flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed me yet on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. I always sing that. If you want to be on the show, I'm always looking for people to call in. So if you have an interesting, naughty life story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, you can be on the show. I'm always taping people. It's super easy. Just send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a naughty confession or any kind of confession that you want to get off your back while remaining anonymous, I've been doing anonymous confession episodes. Your confession can make it on one of those. And I critique those confessions. You could call my confessions hotline. You could call that number 24/7. The number is 347-420-3579. 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. Leave a message. If you need more time because it hangs up on you, just call back. I edit them together. I take out any names or phone numbers and I change the voices so you remain anonymous on those as well. The ones that don't get aired, wind up on my Patreon. My Patreon is a great community. If I were you, I'd go join it. While it's just $5 a month, it's still $5 a month, but I will be raising it like in 1 month to $7 a month. But for right now, just for $5 a month, you get all of my episodes early and ad free. You get naughty pics and hot pics, R-rated pics of every single one of my guests or all on my Patreon. If you've been listening to my show for a long time and want to know what all these girls look like, you're going to see them. They're all there. Okay. Put in their name. They're all there. You get lots of Q&As where I answer like really crazy questions. Anything that people want to know about me, I answer them there. You also get all of the anonymous confessions that have come into my anonymous confessions line, as well as you get access to my Discord where people are getting super naughty. Discord is great because unlike Patreon, people could post their own stuff. I made it a not safe for work site, so you're allowed to post X-rated things, and so you could do that over on my Discord. There's a lot of different channels. My guests go on there and post like their X-rated stuff. There's listeners of my show that are on there, post their stuff, as well as like I have a bi channel, a cross-dressing channel, a hoser channel, and everyone's getting super naughty and talking to each other over there. I have over 2,200 people on my Patreon, so it's a fun community. I do polls over there. That's where I interact with people the most because I'm super busy now, and so all my attention goes to my Patreon members. I can't really get back to people on DMs or anything. So if you want to be a part of that, join my Patreon. Like I said, it's literally only $5 a month. It's really cheap. Go to patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. Now today is a Q&A girl talk episode. I did a post on my Patreon asking guys like what kind of things that would they want to know from women. Like if you could ask women real personal questions and have them really answer them honestly, like what would you want to know? Of course, they were all about sex. And that's the questions that we answer. I brought in Layla London from The Curious Girl Diaries. If you haven't checked out her podcast episode, make sure to check it out. I'll put a link to her podcast in the description. But she came on to answer these questions too, because I wanted her take, my take. We try to also give the take of like most women, younger women, older women. We try to really break it down and give young women, old women, all women. And we answer all the questions that came in. Some of them are tame, like how do you know if a woman's like down to fuck, and do most women like to dress sexy, and do women like shaved balls or not because they have shaved pussies? What positions do women like? How do women like to have sex if they're imbibing? What's their favorite way? Stuff like that. I had so many questions that came in to my post about this that we have to do it in two parts, okay? We're getting to the really hardcore stuff, like about rimming and cum and all that shit. And we talk about it at the end in the part two. But this one's salacious too. We talk all about sex. You're going to find out like how women feel about guys, what they're into, what they see that they like, what they see that they don't like, how they feel about balls and which are their favorite, all that kind of good stuff. I can't explain it all here now. People don't like when I give too much away in the intro. So if you want to know more about what we're talking about, go to the description. But anyway, you're going to learn a lot about women and how women feel about men and how they feel about sex and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm going to get right to it and be right back on with Layla.
This is the Strictly Anonymous podcast.
Oh, hey, Layla. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I am fabulous. Thank you for having me back on.
Yeah, Layla.
These questions.
Layla from The Curious Girl Diaries. Listen, I'm doing a Girl Talk episode where we're answering questions. I put a call out to the guys on my Patreon. I have like over 2,200 dudes over there. And I said, what are the questions you would most like answered by women? If you could get the most women to really answer you honestly, what would you really want to know? Now, some of these questions are hardcore. Some of them are not. I feel I need you on the call, but I wonder, are we the regular girl? I don't know. We have to speak like, oh, this is what I would think. But also maybe we answer like what we think that the average girl or majority of girls would feel about this as well. Right. Let's like always throw that in or take that into consideration, because some of these questions I'm like, oh, I know I would like to do that and stuff, but I don't think most girls would. So take that into consideration if you feel like you're a little bit hardcore. I think me and you are different enough that we'll answer it differently, but let's also try to answer it like what most women would want to, but also give our opinion. And that's how it's going to roll. I'm going to just go down the list of questions. I'm going to start with the tamer ones first and then go down to the more specific, more hardcore, more niche questions. They're all things that I think every guy would want to know. We're going to answer them honestly. So the first one is a basic one. Like, how do you know if a girl digs you? What are the signs she gives off? Now, what I would say for this one is, listen, a girl could flirt. She might give you the eyes. There's two different types of women. I think some women like will really like flirt with you. But sometimes I feel like there's been times in my life where if I really actually like somebody, I talk to them less. Like sometimes if the girl's talking to all your friends and she's not paying attention to you at all, that could sometimes be a sign. Don't dismiss that, because sometimes if a girl is really smitten, and I know I've done this in my past when I was a young girl, because you like the person, you're a little bit more shy. So maybe you're more comfortable talking to everybody else except them. So that's always in play. So like, how does a guy know if you like him? What do you think is that sign for you?
Well, so I'm not the super aggressive type. So I like the guy to come after me. So I would be probably more like maybe most women. I don't think they're the ones kind of hanging back, but it's the eye contact. I'll give them like a quick 1 to 2 second hold of an eye contact, like where you look and it's like pause and then you kind of look away. For me, that's a telltale sign. And then also, but I think you can tell when I really like somebody with my body. I think women, our bodies kind of give us away a little bit. We start sort of leaning in or turning towards you, or we may touch you. So those are kind of my, like, because I'm the one that likes to hang back and pretend like I don't like you, but I have tells, and it's the eye contact and it's the It's the body language.
Yes, you're right. Like when you're talking, you're laughing, you'll put your hand on their arm or on their mm-hmm. leg or something. I'm never going to yep. do that to someone I'm not into. I don't cross those boundaries. Right. But if I feel really yep. comfortable and I'm into somebody, that's a definite tell. You know what I used to do too when I was younger? This is like, but it's kind of like I would lean in at the bar and I would know for a fact that my boob was like going against his arm, and I would make sure I would do that, like little things like that. Like those things are not on accident. If a girl is rubbing her tits on your arm when she's whispering in your ear something regular,
yeah,
like
yeah.
she's doing that on purpose. Did you do that too?
For
I used
sure.
to do that.
Oh, totally. Yes, totally. That's what I'm saying. Like you lean in, it's kind of like yeah. but then when you pull back, you're leaning in and you're thinking like a total slut in that second. And then when you pull back out, I'm like, oh, I'm just an innocent princess.
Yeah, you're like doing it like as if you have no clue that your boob is resting on his shoulder while you're whispering in his ear. Like to me, right, that was like my passive aggressive way of trying to get him turned on and make a pass mm-hmm. at me if I wasn't going to yep. be aggressive, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the eye contact is big. I think that somebody would give advice to a woman like, hey, you want to let a guy know that you like him? Give him the eyes, like a longer second or 2 seconds look. And that's going to tell a guy like, oh, you're interested, right?
Yep.
And you do that. Okay. Yep. Next question. It's like this guy is saying that I've seen women write the following. If men could be women for one day, they would be appalled at how demeaning men are to women. Is that a common feeling among women? Like, do women think that men are super demeaning to them? You want to take this one first? Tell me what you think.
Yeah. Okay. No. No. That's as straight up as I can be about that. No, I don't feel that way at all, actually. I feel like men are pretty fucking hot, and there's still a lot of chivalry out there, and I don't know. I don't get that. I just don't get it.
I would say, as a woman walking around in New York City, one thing that I think that guys don't understand from the girl's perspective is like the looks and the catcalling and stuff. When I was younger and be walking down, and if I saw like a big group of guys down the street and I know that I had to walk past them, I would immediately get uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Because like, oh my God, they're going to say all this shit. Or what if they don't? Does that mean I'm ugly? It's so loaded, and women deal with that kind of stuff on a daily basis. And I think that's maybe where this kind of an attitude from women is coming from. There is a lot of catcalling. There is a lot of flirting from men that is unsolicited. And that happens all the time. Like, guys are not walking down the street and having girls go, oh, look at that fucking cock. And imagine you did every time you walked. I know guys think that that would be like fairy tale land, but it gets uncomfortable because it's unsolicited and it's a lot. And I think that's where this kind of thing comes from, because you feel like a piece of meat. When, like, on a certain level, though, I have to say, as a woman, you want it and you like it, right? Because if you don't get it, you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Oh, have I aged out? Do I look like shit? Am I having a bad hair day?
I think it's one of those things that it happens, and maybe you get a little, I don't want to say numb to it, but you know, you just kind of know it's just one of those things you deal with. And like you said, also, if it starts going away, then you're like, oh shit, you don't want that.
Yes, you'd love it. It's like a love-hate relationship.
It is. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Next question. How do you know a girl is down to fuck? And I think that that's different than how do you know if a woman likes you, right? Like, how do you know if a woman wants you to go home and take you home to bed? I'm going to let you go first on all of these. You go first.
Oh, I'm straight up. I'll pretty much just tell you, but also my body language is going to give it away. Like, I'm going to be leaning right into you, like pulling you close to me. I'm going to be looking in your eyes, just flirting like nobody's business. Yeah. No, but I'm probably just going to say, you want to fuck? I have no shame. If I want it, I want it.
Yeah, me too. But I have to say, I think that this is a hard one to tell with a girl, because there could be mixed signals. Just because a girl invites you back to her house, that might be a tell for me, right? Come back to my place, and because I know that I want to jump in the sack with this guy. But, you know, another girl might just be really digging your company and want that companionship and doesn't want the night to end because it's late in the bar and she invites you back, but it's not, that doesn't mean that she wants to hop on you. So I think you always have to really make sure that whatever signal you're getting that you're thinking is the right one and that she is down to fuck. You know what I mean? If she starts taking her clothes off and she's making out with you and she's takes her hand and rubbing your cock to see how big it is, because that's always the move, right? Like when I'm making out with a guy, I go downtown to see what the hard on feels like. That's the kind of stuff that is like, oh yeah, I want to take this further. I think it's more than just cuddling or making out. I think it has to be a little bit more hardcore. And I think that you always have to err on the side of caution, because sometimes a woman might give off the vibes, like I said, and say, hey, let's go back to my place. But it doesn't necessarily mean she's down to fuck. Want to have the best sex you've ever had in years? Then you need to get yourself some Via High Love gummies. I got an email from a listener of mine that bought them last time I advertised them. And literally the guy said, me and my wife had the best sex that we've ever had in 40 years. Promise you. That's a real review. Via High Love gummies will get your senses going, increase your blood flow, and intensify your sexual experience. Via also offers zero THC products. They have a whole CBD line with products designed for sleep, focus, and energy, okay? You want something that's going to put you to sleep and keep you asleep? Try the Zen CBD gummies. I normally take melatonin to go to sleep. I took one of these. I got so tired like a normal person and then fell asleep and had the best night's sleep ever. So what are you waiting for? Go get yourself some High Love gummies for great sex and check out all the other Via products. And the best part is Via legally ships in all 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door. No medical card required. So if you're 21 plus, you're going to get 15% off plus a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC and CBN sleep gummies with my exclusive code STRICTLYANON at viahemp.com. viahemp.com. Use my code STRICTLYANON at viahemp.com for 15% off and a free pack of Dream gummies. You got to make sure. So good news, Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. Let her know that you're down to fuck and see if she is, right?
I know. Yeah. You have to have really good communication at this point. But it's interesting. I would say that when you said, if you take somebody back to your house, you may not always be down to fuck.
Yeah.
Which is 100% true. I found that for me, that happened more when I was like in my 20s where I would. And that's, I think, when you're actually, for females, they're the most vulnerable. Now I'm older. It's like, I won't invite you back unless I am down to fuck. You know, I mean, I just already know that. But there definitely were times when I was younger where you'd invite some guy back and you didn't have any intention of fucking him. You're just kind of keeping the party going. And then all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, how do I get this guy out of my place? I live by myself. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's a great distinction. And I think that that's true. Like when you're older, older women, if they bring you back to their house, they're going to fuck you. And that's what it's all about. I'm not going to waste my time with companionship. Yeah. Okay. When you're younger, 100%, like it could be just that a lot of the times, most of the time that girl is inviting you back to her house because she doesn't want to stop the night. She might not be ready to fuck you if, you know, she thinks she wants to date you. She might be waiting. There's a lot of games girls have to play because of the slut word and stuff. So really, she could just be bringing you home to make the night last because she loves hanging out with you and she likes you, but it doesn't mean anything. And like you said, that's how younger girls roll. And that's where you have to be to really how far you go with her on the couch and whether she says, hey, let's go in my room, when you have to really know, because it's not a definite yes. But a woman in her 40s of a certain age, a single mom, she's bringing you home. She wants to fuck. And that's why I think a lot of guys date. If they're looking just for a booty call, they do go. Some younger guys go with older women it's more clear and you don't have to worry about that.
It's very clear. Yeah, it's very it's more transactional.
Yeah, totally. Okay, yeah. Understanding men are more visual than women. What is really sexy for women visually? I'll go first with this one. I happen to be very visual as a woman. I like mirrors when I'm having sex. I like to see things. I like shit like that. So I think I'm very visual. But if it just comes to what do I see that I think visually is a turn on for a guy, I am very into mouths and lips. Like I could really, there's just a certain kind of mouth that I am not into. I call it the stamp. My friends always know I call it the stamp. It's like a certain kind of mouth that I am. Yeah, the stamp. It's like, it just, it's, and it's, if someone has it, their whole family has it. I'm just not into like thin lips and weird, I don't know, and weird gums in a mouth. Like I'm just very into full lips and lips. And I will look at an ass. Like I like a nice ass. Like I'm an ass.
Too.
Are you too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like a nice ass. When unfortunately in New York, when you walk around, most people don't have nice asses. You know who has the best asses are gay men. Gay men have the best bodies. They work out so hardcore, right? Because the object of their attention is other guys, and every guy is visual. So they have to have a good body because that's what men like, right? So they do squats. A lot of guys are all jacked up on top and have flat asses. I mean, but I like a nice ass. And a beefy guy. I think a girl, what she likes visually is like whatever her type is. For me, it's like a beefy, big kind of dude, right? And those guys always have kind of like nice asses. What do you like visually?
Well, okay. I just love men's bodies. Like I like gladiator type bodies. Like when you look at Roman statues, like those proportions, like a man that's, you know, low body fat and ripped and tall and gladiator and statuesque.
Yeah.
Because I admire them. Like, you name it. Let's just start with even just like his neck and his neck muscles, and then the chest and the shoulders. And I love a sexy back and the biceps. I do love a nice body. I definitely find myself like, because I'm looking at them like breeding stock, and I'm just like, oh, that's like what my pussy wants.
Like, well,
that one right there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't know, like, honestly, like good breeders.
So, but to me, that's like a guy with a really, like, you like the whole package. Maybe that would be the right way to say it. Like the whole package.
Well, you can't be a dingbat. I really like I love the full package, but I definitely, there's just masculine qualities like big hands. And there's just certain things about men that really just turn me on. I'm like, whoa.
So visually hands, nice hand, like big hands.
Big hands. Yeah. Big hands. I love like guys that have really nice legs, like I said, like Adonis statue legs. That proportion. There's a ratio they call it. I don't know if it's the Fibonacci ratio or something. It's the golden ratio.
You're like, well, listen, the girls have, guys go for girls ratio too. There's a girl ratio too that exists.
There is. Mm-hmm. This is just cave woman brain stuff, and you're looking at their proportions for breeding aspects. That's how I look at them. I'm like, oh, just. That's sexy to me.
But don't you think, as women, I think it's important for men to know, because I think that there are so many other things that trump what we see visually that decides who we, you know, wind up liking than not, right?
Absolutely.
Whereas I think maybe with men, it is more visual, and that is the most important thing first. I think that for women, like you even said, no, like you can't be a dingbat. Like, I mean, it really is the whole package, and there's so many more subtle things that women will go for over just the visual thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, for sure. I mean, what trumps that is just somebody who actually pays attention to you and cares about your day and is interested in you. And it's about, I think, the way they, if somebody could be, let's say, a 7, and he makes you, the way he makes you feel is like a 10, and then you got the 10 visually and all that, and it makes you feel like a 7 or 8, you're going to pick the 7 every day. I go with the 7 every time. It's just about how they treat you more over the look stuff. But
yeah, I think, listen, if you put in all my guys in a room, like none of them, wouldn't make sense. And it would be like, it would definitely be like, oh, all these people were like at this time in my life, and then all these people were at that time in life. I feel like at different points in my life, what turned me on about a guy and what drew me in and not was, it was a vibe, and it changes over time. When I was younger,
it's an evolution.
Yeah. When I was younger, it was an alpha guy. I loved alpha men. I wouldn't date an alpha guy if you paid me $1 million because I'm very alpha.
You guys would kill each other.
Yeah. Those guys are though my buddies. I love being friends with those kind of guys. I have best friend guys like that, that I fucking love, because I could be like, fuck you. And they're like, fuck you. I could be like myself with them and they could hang, but I can't date them. Like, I'll wind up in a garbage
can. If you want to hang out with Kathy, you're going to, you have to be able to take her saying F you to your face at some point in your friendship.
No, but that kind of guy makes me feel like a guy. Like, I feel that way. There's a certain kind of guy though that is an alpha that makes me not want to act like that with him. And that's just a more quiet, strong kind of guy. But I think that evolves and changes. So I think for women, the point I'm making is that it's different for every woman what they wind up liking in a guy. And it really depends on where they're at or what they're into or what their personality is, what's going to sort of float them. But it's a vibe and it's a type.
Yes, I know. And but like you said, it evolves. So it's kind of interesting. So when you think about that, like, what if you married the guy that you thought was absolutely right for you when you were 25 or in your 20s, that one guy that you just thought, oh my God, he's the best, I'll never have better. And then like now you're probably so glad you didn't go with that guy because he's totally wrong now that you know yourself better.
Yeah, well, duh. Isn't that why so many people get divorced? That's what happens. Because you do grow and change. I think it's very rare that you're going to be on the same path and in the same wavelength and in the same vibe as somebody from your 20s through your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. It happens for some people, and those are the lucky ones. But most people eventually sort of go their separate ways. And it's sad that we think that at that point it's considered a failure and we call it divorce and it's this most horrible thing. And it's, like I said, it's seen as such this big failure. I just think people are being unrealistic. Most people are not going to be on the same page with the same person their whole life. And there are people that will. And like I said, those are the lucky ones. But most people aren't going to be that. You grow and change. And 20, 30 years later, you're looking at your partner, you're like, who the fuck are you? I have nothing in common with you. And people stay because of finances and because of kids and stuff. But like, life's too short. And I think at that point, if maybe it's okay to part ways and then go and be with someone that's more like-minded. I don't know.
So, yes. Yeah. No.
There's nothing wrong with that. And that happens all the time. I didn't get married when I was younger, so I don't have that problem. But yeah, if I would have wound up with the guys that I dated, or I would have wound up divorced or killed, so like Dateline episode, murdered. Seriously, I don't let up. Okay. Are there some women who don't have sexual fantasies? This guy says his wife says she doesn't have any, but I don't know if that's true and she just doesn't feel like sharing them. What do you think, Layla?
I don't know. I think all women have some. I think she's probably very repressed about them and just probably thinks could not think of admitting to it. I think she's just pretty far on the repression scale.
Yeah, I think a lot of women are afraid. I think how could someone not have their own sexual fantasies? But I think a lot of times those kinds of things are so personal that it's really scary to put them on the table, especially if you didn't go into the relationship like really being open about sex. Some relationships start out that way. They're very sexual. They're very open with each other. They tell each other everything that they're into. It's all about that in the beginning. And those people tend to be more honest, right? But a lot of times that stuff isn't being discussed in the beginning of relationships. So then 3 years in, it's uncomfortable for someone to be like, oh, by the way, can you pee on me? Or, hey, I really want to be tied up
and
whipped.
Yeah.
And I think people keep it to themselves because it becomes uncomfortable and it's scary, because the last thing you want is for someone to be like, ew, gross, and you're weird. And I think women, you use the word, they're a little bit more repressed sexually, a lot more. So they're less likely to put those things on the table, because what if you think they're like a slut or like what? And so I think that most people have sexual fantasies, but I think they're afraid to put them on the table.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I just think you've heard women say, or I've heard guys say, oh, tell me, my wife has never masturbated. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I believe that. But at some point as a kid, you this is a natural part of your sexual development. But I don't know. Maybe there are some women who don't.
I had a friend that did it, and she was like a model, and she was like a 10.100, and you're like,
but
oh my God,
life.
Yeah, that's what she said. And I believed her. But I remember my friend that I was banging, he was like, oh my God, she must be so bad in bed. Just like, that's somebody that's kind of like frigid and uptight. And I think you find some people that are like that, but I think that that's the minority. I think the majority of people aren't that far on the end of the spectrum. But I think if a woman says she never has masturbated, I think she's being honest. I think some women haven't. Yeah,
really?
But I think that, yeah, aww. But I think that is a little bit of an issue. You don't know why or whatever. Because like I said, I had this one friend that never did. And there's no reason for her to lie. She was being honest. She wasn't like a woman that was like prude or shy. And she was like, never masturbated. And for whatever reason, like I said, she was frigid. There was something going on there. And I think but like I said, I don't think that that's the norm. And I think the best way to get your woman to be more open about it is to just talk about it more with her and make her feel comfortable and start playing around with things. Or what I think nowadays is there are apps and there are books and there's probably a YouTube channel that has stuff that you could do together where it prompts you to answer questions and talk about it. And that's the kind of stuff that goes a long way.
Absolutely. I think talking to your partner kind of, and then if you're going to help them explore, you got to be the one that leads them through it. If they're shy, just they'll follow, but you have to be the leader. Don't expect them to lead you through their own sexual awakening. Their partner kind of has to do it. That's fine.
Yeah, but I think that nowadays a lot of couples that come on my show, the big thing that really changed the game in their relationship from going to vanilla to trying all kinds of different things is sharing podcast episodes.
I know.
About topics.
Totally. Yes.
It gets the conversation going.
It does. It absolutely does. Listen to it together and then you can kind of like see what get each other's read, see what the other person thinks about it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, this guy wants to know if women still wear sexy things or they're just comfortable with their granny panties. There's women that still wear sexy things and there's women that wear their granny panties. Like, I think that it really depends. And that's like, talk about an evolution. You know, the young girl that was always wearing things sexy after three kids, maybe she's wearing granny panties because she's tired at the end of the day. I think it's not a, oh, you either do it or you don't. What I'll say about this, the first thought that came to my mind when I saw this, and you tell me if you roll like this too. I love dressing up in like hot, sexy outfits for my guy. And there's nothing worse than being with a guy that could care less about it. Because just like there's women that like to dress sexy, there are guys that could care less if you dress sexy. They just want you naked. And then there's guys that love that. They love lingerie. They love dressing up. They love that. When I hate hate when I'm with a guy that could care less because I love it. But then he's like, oh, who cares? Like, take it off. It's not fun. You want to be with somebody that appreciates it. So you want your girl to dress sexy? Give her so many compliments. Devour her. Let her know that that's what you fucking love. That is like a turn on. But if you don't care if she dresses sexy, then leave her alone because there's nothing worse to me than putting on the hot outfit and the guy like, oh, that's cute. Whatever. Because he just doesn't care. Some guys don't care.
No, yeah, that's for sure. There's nothing worse when you like you're all excited. You when you're buying this stuff, you're really thinking about your whether or not this is going to turn your partner on, you know, and you're looking at yourself and you're imagining how this is going to affect your partner. And so if you don't get a reaction, it's about the worst. It's one of the worst things that you can have happen. So yeah, no, I mean every guy needs to know on a very basic level. You just need to say, tell her how sexy she looks, appreciate the effort she put in, give her kudos, rewards, whatever. She should know that you appreciate what, you know, that she's taking the time to look hot for you.
Right. But like I said, because my guy now that I flew around with could care less about my hot outfits and I'll still put them on. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, that's fucking hot. But then 2 seconds later, like he doesn't really care, you know, whereas the guy, There's just some guys that really fucking care and some guys that don't. But I think if your woman is just comfortable wearing granny panties and you are the type of guy that wants her to wear lingerie, that's what holidays are for. That's what birthdays are for. That's what Christmas presents are for or Hanukkah. Buy her the shit you want her to wear. Because I do think, just look at Halloween, okay? Just look out your window on October 31st or whatever day Halloween is and look at what girls are wearing. They are slutted up to the 100th power because every girl likes to dress like a slut because Barbies dressed like sluts. I loved Barbie clothes when I was younger. Barbie dressed like the biggest whore. She had like stripper heels.
Short skirts.
Yes, yeah. It was like stripper clothes. I love that stuff. I think it's from Barbie, okay? I don't care about that stupid movie. Girls love to dress up hot. So you want your girl out of granny panties, start buying her hot outfits and give it to her and get her out of her comfort zone. Because I think sometimes there's been times in my life where I never walked around my house in anything not hot. Even when I was like just rolling solo, I used to always just always feeling that way. And then after I had a kid, that's not the case. So you could get away from that part of yourself. And I think that if you need your partner needs to reel you back in and maybe you need to get that girl back into it, or I would need a guy to be like, hey, dress up more. Yeah. Like I'm more into dressing up sexy now again, because my kid's older and I'm getting back in touch with that part of myself. But a woman could lose that, but you have to bring that back. If you don't want your girl in granny panties, buy her whatever you want and just start off with trying to get her to wear it every now and then for you. And then maybe she'll feel like she likes it. And then, like I said, make sure you let her know you like you fucking love it. Because even if you're like, yeah, that's great, but you don't really care, then she's going to know and it's not fun.
Right. Yeah, you won't be getting that again. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think every girl has that little slutty part of her that she likes to dress up like slutty and stuff. So buy her hot things for gifts.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay.
When he takes the time to pick something out, oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so most men love a shaved or lasered pussy, but what do women think of a shaved or especially a lasered man? I like it. I don't want to feel, I can't stand the hairy balls because I'll go to the balls and I don't like the razor stubble because a lot of guys will be shaving down there and stuff. So I think laser that shit off just like a woman. When you laser it, like I lasered my pussy, like I love it. Like it's so much different than shaving, and I don't care how clean you shave. It's the first second. 1 hour later, you have stubble. Okay. It's annoying. So I say laser it off, especially the balls. I think they should be smooth. I think there's nothing worse than razor stubble on balls and they get it. Like I said, 2 hours later, you're going to have razor stubble. So laser it off, just like women do.
Yeah.
Laser it off. And I feel like when I lasered myself off, I felt things more. You don't have that barrier when you're cleanly like exposed like that. It's like a difference. So I think that might be the same thing for your balls. Like laser that shit off. That's how I feel. What do you think?
I'm more just about the fact that you did something with it. Like you groomed it. Or you lasered it, whatever. If you're putting effort into it, that makes me happy.
So you don't care if there's stubble. I don't like stubble.
Well, so it won't be. Well, if you're shaving it, I don't want the stubble. But some guys take a trimmer, right? And they get it really super low. So it's almost kind of, it's so low. And it's not stubbly, but it's kind of soft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I can deal with that. Like I'm good with that. But if it's out of control, I just don't like it out of control, long and bushy. I don't want pubes in my throat.
So that right. They don't have to laser it. They just have to shave it for you.
It needs to be tended to. As long as I know that you're putting some effort in. Like if you show up and it's almost like I didn't wash my hair to go on a date with you. Ew. Oh, I don't care. Like I just have dirty hair. It's the same thing. You're not taking care of your pubes when, you know, your dick might be that close to my pussy. No.
Yeah, or it's in your mouth. That's what I mean. Like, to you me, to I take don't want some the pride hair in your mouth.
Yeah, take some pride in your grooming. I mean, so.
But speaking of balls, no one asked this question, but I want to know about, I'm just asking, do you like long, saggy balls or like tight, high up balls?
Well, they don't stay saggy. They get high and tight when he's about ready to come. So when he's...
That's not true. There's plenty of guys with long, saggy, old man balls. And then there's guys with really tight, very perky balls. Like, which one do you prefer?
Okay. I don't have a preference.
See, I really do. And my friends used to laugh at me. And that's why I bring this up, only because, like, I used to... Like, I was obsessed with long, saggy old man balls because like I could feel them when the guy's fucking me. Like,
I love that feeling.
Like
oh, God,
tight balls, they're not even a part of the scene, but when they're long and saggy, it's like a whole other thing going on. So I was always obsessed with that. It just added a feeling to sex that I really like. So I always preferred them long and saggy, and people used to be so horrified. And that's where I'm like, this is why I need another girl on this Girl Talk episode, because probably most women would say I can't stand long, saggy old man balls.
I like them. I like them.
You
too.
Do? You just said you didn't care.
Yes.
Now
no,
you know.
I mean, no, I kicked somebody out of bed because his balls weren't long enough. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, but I like the ones when they're saggy. But here's what happens. Have you ever take a look at those suckers when he's about ready to come? They are sucked up right up in him and they're not saggy anymore.
I don't think so. I think the guys with the real long ones, they don't go up.
Well, I don't know, but I do. I can get really excited when some balls are slapping me.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
So all you guys with saggy balls, don't worry. Yeah. I think it adds something that a girl might not even realize.
It's amazing. It's they're almost like a sex toy in and of themselves.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
yeah. That's why I brought it up. Okay. Somebody wants to know, do women like their partners to dom them and be aggressive and be the dominant person over them?
Well, yeah, I do. I sure do.
Yeah. Don't most women? I think it like you're a switch. You could switch. But I think most women, it's that caveman thing. Throw me over your shoulder and throw me on the bed and do it. But it that's just
that's what I prefer.
But that's
what every girl prefers.
Right. It's because that's like what we think of as manly. Just like guys don't think it's good when I'm aggressive because it's not feminine. What we think aggressive in the bedroom is masculine. And that's what we want. Right. We want to feel like we're with a dude that is pretty aggressive, right?
Yes. And yes, that could take control, fuck the shit out of us, just turn us into a little cum dumpster. I love it.
Yes. I think that might be more down the line of our other questions about cum dust. I have a whole cum question section.
I'll hold my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. This guy wants to know, do most women prefer to have sex with their partner straight? Or like imbibing in alcohol or weed or whatever. For me, I'm going to answer that as a sober person, but I've fucked with everything. And I quit drinking because I was like a blackout drinker. So I never even knew what I was doing when I was drunk. And I think when you're drunk, it's like you're a little bit numbed out when you're drunk. So I like to me, the least thing, like alcohol would be the bottom of the list of like how I'd want to be. Straight is like, you know, really great. But I will say, and I don't do weed anymore, but, you know, you smoke a little weed and holy fucking shit. Like it is makes sex so good, I think. It's just because it like, listen, it's a high, right? It's just heightening whatever you feel. So I would always date weed heads and I was never really into pot myself. But every now and then I would just smoke it just to fool around because it was like fun. And it would make like that session like the most erotic thing. Like he could just like, take his finger and rub it on the side of my body and I could have an orgasm. Like you could get into shit like that when you're stoned, right? It's really intense.
Yeah exactly. I think so. Obviously I like it sober, and but there's been times a few times actually, well, only, yeah, just a couple. One guy I met, and we, our specific goal was to do Molly and have sex. We both agreed. We wanted to have that experience. And I'd never done anything like that. The only thing I'd ever done, a couple times I did mushrooms in my 20s and then pot a couple times. So I have a very limited drug use. And so, but I really wanted to try it because I wanted, like you said, everything to be heightened and sensitive. And oh my gosh, it was amazing. I couldn't have an orgasm, but everything felt ridiculously sensitive. But, and then, so off of that too, the same thing with like gummies, that would make me super, that I could have crazy orgasms off of, and everything was heightened and super sensitive. And that was super, yeah, that was just exciting.
Weed gummies, like THC gummies. I have a new sponsor, Via. It's in this week's ad, okay? Those Via hemp high love gummies that I talk about on my ad, when I say that I had people email me, like one guy was like, those gummies, the sex between me and my wife was better than we have had in 20 years when they were made specifically because they have THC in them and then extra stuff that's put in there to make it for specifically for sex or via hemp high love gummies.
Oh my God, I need them as a sponsor on my show.
Yes, you have it. They bought out my whole year because obviously my audience loves them. And I have gotten real people that emailed me that bought it was like, oh my God, this is the best shit ever. And that's like the best for me because I don't do THC, so I can't speak to it. I take their sleep gummies are actually really good, but their THC ones, I got literal emails unsolicited from my listeners that bought them that were like, these are the best things ever. So I say if you do imbibe, I think alcohol isn't that great because I think it makes you very uninhibited, which is fun. But to me, it always was harder to calm the more drunk you were because you get a little numbed out. Whereas I think weed and my THC gummies are the way to go because it's just going to heighten the sensation and make every little thing fucking amazing.
It does. Yeah. It's like mind blowing. Everything. Yeah. Everything he's doing, it's almost like you feel things 10 times more than you normally would. And it's great for women because I think it also brings out areas of our pussies that we weren't really noticing that they were sensitive or we weren't tuned in or I don't know. But when you have the weed gummies, it's like everything is just, it's crazy. It's, oh my God, everything, every little movement, every little stroke is phenomenal.
Yeah. Via hemp. I'll put the link in my description, but anyway, okay. Do all women love doggy style? I'm going to go first. I hate doggy style, but especially when, because a lot of times my booty call guys, for some reason, and I don't seek this out on purpose, but they always have big dicks and I don't like my cervix to be touched. And I think that I might have like a small vagina or something like this. So it does get touched if someone's too long. And too long is not 8 inches, okay? Too long to me is 6 or 7. I don't know. Like width. So I don't like it, but my move always when I would go doggy style was always when I was with a guy that didn't have too big of a dick, and then I loved it. So that's for me, when I told a guy to fuck me doggy style, it was because he was a little bit smaller and I could feel it more that way and I liked it. But sometimes I don't like it when a guy is too big. So it goes either way for me. What about for you?
Well, I love it for both the reasons that you said. I don't have a problem with it being too big because if it's smaller, number one, like you said, you do feel it. It feels really good on the guys that have just average-sized dicks or a little bit smaller. I find doggy feels incredible.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I love it. Yeah, but then I also like to have an A-spot orgasm. So if I need a lot of pressure, and a guy's dick has to put a lot of pressure on that point, and it feels really good. And
what the fuck is an A-spot orgasm? I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's from the pressure on your cervix when he's like, when he's really in deep and he's hitting your...
That's called an A-spot?
A-spot, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because listen, I have had women on that love their cervix to be banged out, okay?
Yes.
I don't even like someone to put their finger inside my belly button, let alone touch my fucking cervix. It's so gross. But anyway, you talk about that because I'm cringing. You like it to be touched. Like you get an orgasm from it.
Yeah. Well, it's the pressure. it's just the pressure that it just you feel when someone's just like putting all this pressure on there. It's like, it's kind of the same as when you're having your clit rubbed. It just, I don't know, it just does something. It feels really good. But yeah, some guys, they're not every guy can get there or do it. But when you get the right dick in there, oh my God, yeah. And doggy is a great way to hit that. So,
but would you say, because we're forgetting to talk about like the average, like the most women, would you say that most women love doggy? I don't even know.
I think they do. Yeah, I think they do. I think another thing that's good about doggy is sometimes if you just need to, when I was younger and I didn't really kind of have good mastery over my orgasms, like if I could just get in doggy and not have to be looking at him, it was almost like I could zone out a little bit and really just kind of feel everything. And then that would help get me to the orgasm rather than having him right on top of me. And I feel like, oh God, he's looking at me or I need to come, there's pressure on me or whatever. This always felt, and because you're not, the eye contact isn't there. I don't know. Like when you close your eyes, you feel things more. I don't know. That's what I like about doggy.
Yeah. Less self-conscious. You're not like staring. Yeah. That's why I'm sorry. Like I think I'm just too self-conscious to like really love being on top. And I know so many women love that. Like I don't necessarily want to be like center of attention on top, having to perform. I don't know why. Like it's just never my thing, but I know that so many women like it. I did a poll. This is going to be my poll. Yeah. This is going to be my poll question on Spotify and on Patreon. Like what's your favorite sex position? Because I remember I ran it a while ago and it was for women and men, and so many people loved reverse cowboy or whatever it is when you're on top, either turned away or on top. And I never liked being on top, and I think it was because I just get too much information when I'm looking at somebody. I don't know, so I never liked that scene. But I think a lot of people do. You're the center of attention, you're right, you're like right there in front of them, you really have full control of it inside of you, what it's hitting and everything. For some reason that was never my thing. Did you like that position? You love that position a lot, right?
Being,
I think a lot of women do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh yeah. Because yeah, for a lot of reasons, then I am the center of attention, which I like. I can grind my clit on this pubic bone. I can also get his dick really deep inside me and get that A spot. I can control the A spot pressure rather than him doing it in my cervix. And I can just get it right on there where it feels really good and get that, just that direct pressure that I need. So it's, and there's something about, I don't know if you notice this, like when you're, it's almost like when your hip bones, when you're on top and you're kind of stretching your legs out a little bit, feels better. I'm not sure. It just kind of different, but I like it.
Yeah, I think most women do. That's where I'm like different. But I have a feeling that most women, that's the way they roll. I'm going to do some polls, like I said, on my Patreon, on my Spotify.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, Layla, I have so many, I feel like we're like almost at an hour and I have so many more questions. I have a whole section literally that is called, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what the questions are, but the title is Cum Questions. A lot of guys wanted to know some really hardcore questions about cum, like women's cum and them and all these questions, as well as some more specific questions about guys and girls and stuff. So I feel like maybe we need to do those in a part two. What do you think? Because I have, they're more hardcore. Like part two would be more hardcore.
Okay. Yeah. It's definitely.
Yeah. It's more about rimming and water sports,
yeah,
and cum,
okay,
and like
yeah,
stuff
yeah, yeah,
like that. So maybe we'll leave that for a part two and we'll do, I'll answer all those questions in the part two. So this is the part one. I feel like this was interesting. And then you're going to have to call back in and we're going to answer the rest of these questions. Like I said, they get more hardcore. Guys want to know more dirty stuff. Oh. And I guess we could leave that, and more specific things, we could leave that for part two. You want to do that?
That sounds great. I'm all about the dirty stuff.
Oh my God, yeah. And this is where it's hard because I feel like neither one of us is going to give the regular woman answer. I don't know. I think it's harder because we're so much older. So what would somebody in their 20s, how would they answer these questions? It's hard. I sometimes look at these questions and I'm trying to answer them like from when I was 20 compared,
yeah,
to when I'm 40.
I would not have answers for a lot of these questions, I'll be honest, when I was 20.
Oh, I would have. I was always talking about sex. I was always experimenting. I was even more hardcore, but I wasn't the average woman. But I think that women nowadays are more open and I think they would have answers to these. But these get a little bit more hardcore. Like I said, it's more about rimming and water sports sports and calm and masturbating and shit like that. And so we're going to leave these questions for part two. So stay tuned. I'll air part two like next week. We'll do that.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Leila. Thanks so much for coming on. And then we're going to have to go through the rest of the questions and do a part two.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. Bye.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about, or you just have a really super interesting life story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous pics of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics, and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests, as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous.